Fisher for three. Bang! He could.
This is the Tom and Jerry Sports Show
on All Noise Radio.
Go!
This is another Tom and Jerry Sports Show podcast. We had an interesting week of sports with the NFL free agency, especially. And just recently, yesterday, we had Selection Sunday. We'll get into the bracket after we get out of the free agency here. But a lot of big names going to big places, really.
Yeah, especially Denver.
Denver.
Unlimited cap space.
Yeah,
well,
Denver really came through with some big, big moves.
They're question marks on the moves, though. You know, they're not... Obviously, any signing has question marks with
it. Course.
But, you know, Tlaib in a position where even at 28, 29, you're slowing down.
Yeah.
And he's already... hasn't played a full season in the previous 2 or 3 years, so... You know, some question marks there.
They're in that win now mode because John Elway knows that he's got what, maybe one or two more years with Peyton Manning, and that's it. That's why he went big on these moves.
Oh yeah, and you would love to see that.
Yeah,
you know, from any GM.
Absolutely. Their biggest move was probably about what. Few hours after the Dallas Cowboys released DeMarcus Ware, they came in and swooped in and signed him 3 years, $30 million, $20 million guaranteed. So that's how you know that they're in that win now mode because they're just throwing money out, and that's like, it's not going to hurt them in the long run, really.
Yeah, no NFL contract does hurt in the long run.
So that's what they did. They went out, got Tlaib, they got DeMarcus Ware. They just picked up Emmanuel Sanders
yesterday.
which was a good pick because they lost Eric Decker to the Jets.
Yeah.
That move, in my opinion, he got a decent amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if he's...
I don't think he fits Denver.
I don't think he fits... The thing is with him is I don't know if he's a number one wide receiver. And that's my problem. I don't know. Like, that's what he want. He wanted to be a number one wide receiver. He wanted to, you know, make number one money.
Mm.
And that's why he went over to the Jets, because he will be that number one wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
And he will get, you know, number one money. But I just don't know if he is that number one wide receiver.
Definitely not.
He's not a guy that will, you know, one-up anybody, you know, on the outside. And, you know, his speed is all right.
Yeah.
His hands are the reason why
he's more of a possession type guy.
So, it's a good move for the Jets because they obviously any wide receiver is good for them right now because they don't really have any.
Yeah, obviously, I wouldn't expect the same numbers Peyton Manning to
not at all.
The Jets, but it is nice to have a possession receiver on your team, you know, one that can go up and get the ball, especially when you have a second year quarterback in Geno Smith.
Absolutely.
You know, rookie mistakes will still happen in the sophomore year. I mean, things happen, but, you know, in the back of his mind, he knows he can throw it up and take a chance with Derek Decker now, and that's something basically every team would like to have and needs. So, you know, good signing by them. It attracts people to the games now that they actually have a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Other than, the guys they had last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, good signing by them, but, you know, with the Broncos... And Emmanuel Sanders, he seems more of like a deep ball threat.
Yeah.
And Peyton doesn't throw the ball deep anymore.
Yeah, not anymore,
he'll
really.
Take a few chances a year, but, I mean, you can't say he's a deep ball thrower because of that. I mean, he is check down, slants across the middle, and that's why...
He's a good slants wide receiver, too, because he has the speed.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's a good... You know, they'll have Demaryius Thomas as the... You know, the possession, you know, third down, big time, you know, when you need a catch, that's who you're going to go to. They have the tight end in Julius Thomas.
Yeah.
Right now, their only thing is, running back is a question mark for them right now because Monty Ball has the fumble issues.
Yeah.
Knowshon Moreno is a free agent. So, you know, you can go from one sense to another. Like, yeah, last year he had the run game that he's never had in, mm-hmm. In his career. But now he doesn't have the run game. Will he still put up these numbers? And, you know, I mean, it's kind of easier to match up against them now, I believe.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, in the regular season, he'll do his thing because it's the regular season. You know, their running game will be like the Saints with the checkdowns and the screens and all that stuff. But in the postseason, it's a whole nother ballgame. You need to have some form of running game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't want to jump too early, you know, this early, but that kind of gets you knocked out of the playoffs, not having a running game.
The thing that they're really stepped up with is defense, obviously. They went mostly on defense now. You know, TJ Ward, one of the best safeties in the league right now. And it's a great pickup for him. It's a great pickup. You know, TJ Ward is the hard hitting. Mm-hmm. You know, he makes plays at the safety position. So this is that was a good move for them. Getting to Marcus Ware was a good move for them to have someone on the other side of Von Miller. Hopefully Von Miller stays healthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the pass rush now, you know, that they were kind of slacking, you know, all year because of, you know, injuries. And the thing right now is, you know, their defense is, you know, is good as it is, you know, with DeMarcus Ware, TJ Ward, you know, Von Miller now. But the thing last year was they were never behind.
Yeah.
So these guys now, DeMarcus Ware can just go straight after mm-hmm. the quarterback now. Like, that's all he has to worry about is just get the quarterback, you know, do whatever you got to do, get the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good fit for DeMarcus Ware. He's out of the NFC East. He's out of the NFC. The Cowboys don't have to play him. So I'm all right with the move. I'm a little upset.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's a good move for him.
From that perspective, though, you know, as a Cowboys fan as you are,
yeah,
you have to look at it from, I mean, that's... That could have been another $30 million for one guy, $20 million guarantee that they give him. You know, probably around that ballpark if they wanted to keep him. That's a lot of money from one guy when you need to, you know, fill so many positions.
Well, that was the biggest thing.
Yeah, so I kind of applaud Jerry Jones for this.
Yeah.
You know, not sticking with the franchise guy just because of what he did. And
it's a big-time move.
It was finally a good GM move by Jerry Jones.
See, you know, with it now, Jerry Jones says he's not going to, you know, start signing guys just because of loyalty.
Yeah.
He's not going to just sign these guys to big-time contracts just for loyalty. And you know what? Jason Hatcher, Anthony Spencer, DeMarcus Ware, they lost with them.
Exactly.
They can lose without them.
They had the worst defense in the league last year with them, so I mean...
So, DeMarcus Ware has his neck issues.
Yeah.
He has his back issues. So, you know what? That you're taking a big risk giving a guy
you are
3 years, 30 mil, when he's already, what, 30, probably 30, 31?
I think he's 31, yeah.
And, you know, obviously his numbers, you don't know if he's actually just, like, slowing down, falling apart, whatever it is. His numbers did go down.
Yes.
Kind of drastically last mm-hmm. year. He only had 6 sacks. When he's averaging usually between 12 to 17 sacks a year.
And injuries always linger, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially neck injuries when you're on the defensive side.
Yeah.
You know, you're always using your head, you know, when you're going in for a tackle. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an issue, a risk that you're either willing to take. Now, if the Cowboys had a set defense where they had 3 other defensive linemen, you know, a safety.
If they were in a Denver situation, a win-now situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then I would say, fine, you know, give them that money. You know, keep them here, whatever. But right now the Cowboys have, you know, their whole defensive line that they need to, you know, address.
Mm-hmm.
They need at least another linebacker. They need a safety. Then you go to the offensive side. They could probably use one more wide receiver because they just released Miles Austin. So, you know, they have a lot of... you know, positions that they have to address. And that's what he's doing. And he's doing it the cheap way, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting these guys cheap. Jeremy Mincy, who he just signed from Denver, actually. I think it was a 1 or 2 year deal worth maybe $1.5 million, which is a good move.
Oh, yeah.
They got Terrell McClain, who a defensive tackle they got for maybe $1 million, I think it was, or maybe $1.5 million-ish. So, you know, he's doing these moves you know, to keep it cheap, and you can get more players for the money.
Yeah.
So right now the Cowboys are visiting with Henry Melton, defensive tackle from Chicago, probably the second best free agent on the board as of right now. So that's a big move if they can bring him in. And also tomorrow, supposedly, or Tuesday, they're thinking of meeting with Jared Allen, which is that would be another big pickup, because then you could, then they would have addressed the whole front defensive line
and still spend less money than what the Marcus Ware would have been.
And you're going to be getting that 5.5 mil back, you know, post that June 1st because of the Miles Austin release.
Yes.
So you'll get that 5.5 back, which you can use on draft picks now. You can use that money to mm-hmm. sign draft picks. And for that first round pick, you know, you could probably think about getting, if you do want to go with that Aaron McDonald guy,
defensive
tackle, Pittsburgh, or if you want to go safety.
If
you know,
McDonald's
with
there, I would take him. Yeah. That is an absolute beast.
That's what they were saying, you know. And, you know, if I saw something on Twitter, which is actually a really good, you know, thought, really, that this guy came up with. Pittsburgh has high star power that comes out of that school for football. I mean, if you look at some of the guys that have made the NFL, they're top players.
Yeah.
Top players. I mean, just look at Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
He came out of Pittsburgh. So, you know, you
I
might want to...
Which is Larry Fitzgerald came to
Larry
mind.
Larry Fitzgerald,
right away.
Yeah. So, like, the, you know, that's it's a good star power school if you really think
school.
If you really think about it, and that's why you know maybe you should really think about taking this guy.
No, yeah, he's definitely the real deal.
Yeah.
Watching him,
but it all depends on like if you can take a decent safety out of maybe the second round or third round, then by all means do that.
Yeah.
You go with Aaron McDonald the first in with the 16th pick. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I would definitely stick with McDonald if he was there. I just don't know if he's going to be. I know he's one of the highest rated defensive tackles coming out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it obviously depends on what teams in front of the Cowboys need.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. You don't know what's, you know, you don't know what's going to go on. You don't know if anybody's going to trade up.
You don't know until draft day.
Yeah.
There's no way to tell.
It's fun to predict, you know, because you can look at it and be like, oh, well, this team needs this. But you know what? They can take this also.
Yeah, you know, all the mock drafts, like, I don't put much into it because you just never know. Like,
there's
who would have thought with the Redskins last year coming up and taking RG, or 2 years ago with RG3? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen until draft day. It's
exactly. The only thing that you're going to know is the first round,
the first
pick.
And that's like a week before, you know, something like that, a few days.
Yeah, so, you know, right now, they're on the clock.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. So, you know, that's, you know, you don't know who's going to go. You know, now they're talking about Johnny Manziel just dropping to maybe even out of the 10th, you know, out of 10 picks.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know how Mel Kiper and those guys, like Tom McShay, like, I don't.
How they do it.
I don't
like,
get it.
Yeah,
like, who, like, buys into it? Because it's just... Like, yeah, you can make predictions and all that, but you just don't know.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, this team may need that position the most, so yeah, they'll go it. But a team that's picking 20th may need it more and gives everything up and takes... You can't
predict.
See,
that's the thing,
like,
with the Browns right now. The Browns have a lot of draft picks. They can do a lot of things come this draft. And, you know, one of the things was, you know, before Darrell Revis was released... They were talking about trading to Tampa Bay for Darrell Revis.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why they didn't was because Darrell Revis said he wouldn't take a pay cut. So
typical.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a good look for them because if they would have brought him in, to have him and Joe Hayden, I mean, that would have been a scary secondary for the Browns. And even, you know, the Browns are sneaking in right now on the Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie you know, bid right now between the Giants and the Jets. So the Browns just are sneaking in now. He already took a physical with the Giants and the Jets. no signing yet.
Yeah, no, yeah, no.
So
signing.
that's another, you know, tell all, you know, that he may even go to the Browns now.
Yeah.
You know, and to have him and Joe Hayden, you know, that's it's scary secondary again.
Yeah, the only thing, I mean, this is such a quarterback driven league right now, that you can put all the pieces together, but if you don't have a quarterback, you're not winning.
Oh, I know.
Six or seven.
Well,
games.
that's another thing though, because if they do all this, they did a lot of moves.
Oh, yeah, the
Browns. They did
money.
Some good moves too.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, they're sitting at what? I think it's four, right? Three or four.
Four.
So, they can get a quarterback.
Yeah.
And the way that it's going, the way that it's looking, they might get their quarterback. They might get either Teddy Bridgewater or Johnny Manziel, depending on what they want to do.
Yeah, because it looks like the Rams aren't taking a quarterback at second.
It doesn't look like the Texans are going to take a quarterback at number one. So, you know, the Texans may go with Jadeveon Clowney to go with J.J. Watt. So, you know, like we were talking about, what, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the draft, and we were saying that, you know, the Texans run a 3-4.
Yeah.
And to edge Jadeveon Clowney, it's kind of, you know, a question
mark.
Where
are you going to put him? Yeah.
But you know, they might go for
crazier
it.
Crazier things have happened, so.
You know, you got to go for that sexy pick if it's there.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes. So, you know, that's what it looks like a lot of teams are going to do. I predict the Cowboys going all defense. All defense, probably the first three picks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even go with a quarterback. Maybe Carr. I'm hearing starting to move up draft boards. Maybe a second round pick, third round pick. I wouldn't mind that because you know he's not ready yet.
Yeah,
but you know with the Cowboys, you know you're gonna have Romo for another three,
least,
4 years.
I was gonna say, probably at least four.
Yeah, yeah. So. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, a lot of moves have happened. Like we were talking about with Darrell Revis, he ended up going to the Patriots for a one-year deal. And then all of a sudden the Patriots go out and get Brandon Browner also.
Yeah.
So that's looking like a scary secondary. That team looks very scary, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brought back Edelman, which is good. They got Brandon Browner. They got Darrell Revis.
My only concern, I guess you would say, is pass rush.
Yeah.
Which you do need to help your secondary as much as you can.
Yeah.
Ask the Giants that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that's one thing I'm looking at with the Patriots. Will Fork wanted to be released by them. That's huge for the running game.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing because he's that run stopper. He pretty much clogs up any hole that he really wants
to. So... You know, it's a big loss for the run game. You know, you're lacking a lot of pass rush with, I believe, Brandon Spikes that left. Is also left the Patriots, the linebacker that was there. So, you know, you're losing a couple key guys in that. And, I'm not knocking the moves. I think they're good moves with the corners.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that was always a, you know, a
they
weakness.
Never really won secondary, yeah. So
that was always a weakness for them.
It's kind
so.
Of... I don't want to say good because I don't like the Patriots, but good for them in a way, you know, to kind of finally address that issue. But, you know, we'll see how it works. I still think the lack of pass rush is going to really hurt that team.
Absolutely. You know, another, like last week when we were talking about, you know, these free agents, we talked about Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks ended up going to Indy like we said he would.
It was a good match.
It was a good pick. They got him for like 1 year, I think it was for $3.5 million.
Yeah, kind of like it was like a. We also talked about a few weeks ago with like a. It's a test contract.
Yeah, exactly.
For him to kind
you know,
of
it was coming
prove
off
themselves.
The injury. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know that's a good move for Indy, especially that you know he's Andrew Luck really didn't have that wide receiver.
Yeah, he had T.Y. Hilton, but he's more of. You
but
know,
he just moved T.Y. Hilton up to a top wide receiver. So.
But, you know, T.Y. had to catch the ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, you give him that, but he's not like that physical kind of receiver. He's very, he's like a Steve Smith, you know, small, speedy. That's what he really relies on. So,
of course.
It was a good signing for Andrew Luck and, you know, another wide receiver. Now he doesn't have to throw, you know, maybe it'll be six interceptions in the postseason this time.
Yeah.
No, it's very, That's a good move by them. And speaking of Akeem Nicks and where he was rumored to go back home to Carolina, I think they're the biggest losers out of this whole free agent. They lost one wide receiver on their team.
They lost everybody. Ted Ginn's gone.
Yeah.
You know, they just released Steve Smith, which is, you know, kind of mind-blowing to me.
Right, because this has nothing to do with money, which I know everyone thinks it does, but they're still paying him $2.5 million, I believe it is, or $3 million. And the Ravens are paying the rest of, I believe, the $5 million that they owed him. So they only had to, if they wanted to keep him, it was only $3 million more or $2.5 million more. I don't know the exact numbers, but it was around there to keep the most important player in your franchise's history.
Yeah. So
and not even at that. They don't have any wide receivers.
Yeah.
There's not one receiver on their roster right now because Brandon LaFell is not even signed with them. He's a free agent too. Yeah. They don't have one wide receiver.
Brandon LaFell signed with the Patriots.
They don't have they have not one wide receiver.
So like we said, you know, we'll get back to the Patriots real quick. They signed Julian Edelman back. They signed Michael Humanumanumanui.
Oh, yeah. He's like the tight end, right?
Yeah. Then they brought in Brandon Browner. They brought in Brandon LaFell and Darrell Revis. And then they lost Dane Fletcher, middle linebacker, Brandon Spikes, the middle linebacker, and Aqib Talib. So, you know, I
and you can pretty much add Will Fork in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's actually released yet or...
He hasn't been released yet. They have a few free agents that still haven't signed from their team, you know, like LeGarrette Blount, Andre Carter, Austin Colley.
They should definitely get Blount again. He had a nice season.
He did have a good year. So, you know, that's with the Patriots. Also, quick news on the Colts that just came in this morning.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Jim Irsay was arrested for drunk driving, I believe it is.
And also, it was something like prescription pill boxes, but the pills that were in them weren't the prescribed pills. Mm. Something along the lines of that.
So something fishy.
Something fishy going on there.
Yeah. So.
And he's one of the, you know, he's always out there on Twitter and this and that, so.
Yeah, so.
People should know who this guy is when they see this.
That should be interesting to see how that goes, but.
Yeah, because you can't really do much to an owner, you know. Oh, sell your team. It's like, no? Okay. Next.
With the Colts, they re-signed Ahmad Bradshaw, Sergio Brown, Vontae Davis, which was big for them because he had a big year for them.
Mm-hmm.
Pat McAfee and Adam Vinatieri. And then they brought in Phil Costa, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, DeQuell Jackson, which is a big pickup, you know, great inside linebacker. Arthur Jones.
Yes, I think he's actually a really good player.
Yeah, defensive end. And then Akeem Nicks. So, you know, they got better.
They spent money last year, too.
Yeah.
And now again this year. I mean, they're also in, I don't want to say the same mode as the Broncos, but, you know, they're making the right steps.
Guys that have left the team was Antoine Bethea, which is a tough loss. He signed with San Francisco. Donald Brown, who had actually a decent year last year for them. He signed with San Diego. Cavell Connor, inside linebacker, signed with San Diego as well, which you got DeQuell Jackson, so you don't even really worry about that one. Then Jeffrey Linkenbach signed with Kansas City, which they needed that because, you know, after losing Brandon Albert.
There it is.
So, you know, they needed line help in Kansas City. Right now, they don't have that many you know, big names that are unsigned from their team. And none of the guys that they have unsigned from their team have any teams interested in them. It's nothing really to worry about. I think the biggest name is probably Darius Heyward-Bey and maybe Pat Anger, their inside linebacker. So, you know, keep an eye on the Colts. You know, they've gotten better, like we said.
Definitely gotten better.
Other teams that have gotten better. We'll go back to, we pretty much named everything that happened with Denver.
Yeah, they've obviously gotten better. I feel, you know, not to be selfish here, but, you know, the Ravens got better because they signed a lot of guys back. yeah. that were big, you know, big parts, big reasons, good guys to sign back, like Pitta we signed to extension to 5 years.
Yeah, they got Dennis Pitta, Daryl Smith, Eugene Monroe, which is big. They the tackle.
I'm happy they got Daryl Smith, too. I mean,
yeah.
you didn't... We didn't even hear about anything Ray Lewis related last year because he filled his hole perfectly.
He really did. Jeremy Miles, safety, and Jacoby Jones. And then they signed Steve Smith, which is big because, I mean, you know, when you're looking at it, they signed back most of their big players.
Yeah.
The funniest thing was Jacoby Jones was in a taxi on his way to meet with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And before he got there, he told the taxi driver to drive him back to the airport. He wanted to go home. So, you know, right there just shows you that, you know, he loves it in Baltimore.
Yeah, he does.
So,
and that's awesome to say. I mean, he made the biggest difference in the world for us when he signed with us.
Oh, absolutely.
So I love the guy. Absolutely. I love having him on my team. I'm happy he's back for four years. Monroe is a very nice signing, too, because our line needs a lot of help. I really want him to try for Alex Mack, the center from the Browns.
Yeah, he's there. He's the, as from NFL.com, he's the number one free agent left on the board.
I think that would be huge for because we lost a lot when we lost Matt Burke, the center. So, I mean, center is the most underrated position in football.
It really is.
It's the most important thing. For the most important position in the quarterback. So, you know, that would be a huge signing in that. So, but, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. Right now, their departures, Corey Graham, cornerback.
Yeah.
Arthur Jones, like we just said. Jameel McClain signed with the Giants. And then Michael Orr. So.
Nothing too serious. And like I said, we got the guys back that kind of had to come back. Locked them up long term. So, I'm happy with the moves Ozzie has made. And obviously Steve Smith is a huge move in a way of... Well, he's one of my favorite players that have never been on the Ravens.
Same thing with me.
That he is.
You got to love his fire and his passion for, you know, the game of football.
Yeah, now he's going to be... Obviously, you know, he was on a 12-4 team last year, but, you know, he's in a proven franchise over the years. You know, stability and everything like that. That's huge to players in itself.
Exactly.
And, you know, I just love the move from... That fired up perspective, as you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of need that. You know, now as I told you off air, you know, him and Ray Rice, I just see just fighting with everyone on every play, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. They're unsigned free agents, Dallas Clark, Terrence Cody, Ed Dixon, James Ahedebo, who's has Detroit Lions that are interested in him.
I want to get him back. I actually thought he played really good for us last year.
Yeah. Vontae Leach, Bernard Scott, and Brandon Stokely. So,
Ahedebo would be nice because then we don't have to go safety in the draft.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was Baltimore there. We kind of went, we'll go over the Cowboys real quick just in, you know, just so we can see the names that they've gotten and gotten rid of. The Cowboys have gotten rid of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. It's big to, you know, for them, like I said, you know, safety and defensive line is big for them. They added Terrell McClain and Jeremy Mincy, like I said they would. Like I said they did. They lost Phil Costa, Jason Hatcher, and DeMarcus Ware. The only thing I don't like about Jason Hatcher is signing with the Redskins.
Yeah.
Like, why sign with a division rival?
Because there's no... That's just gone in the NFL now. That whole rival thing.
It's all
Peppers
about money.
Went to the Packers. Yeah. There's no more. I hate that team because I played for whoever the year before.
Right.
That's gone. That's way gone.
Like, you know, the thing with DeMarcus Ware now, they released DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware wasn't happy with the way Jerry Jones handled it and how it came out about, like, money and everything like that. But, you know, Jerry Jones apologized and all that stuff, and DeMarcus Ware declined every NFC East team. Like, he says he's not negotiating with any of them, and he went the furthest from, you know, the Cowboys that you can go.
But I kind of hate to break it to DeMarcus, but it's kind of all about money.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely.
But no, that's you could see that from DeMarcus Ware, though.
He's a class act. Yeah, that's the main thing with him. And, you know, they lost, well, they're free agents that haven't been signed yet. You got Miles Austin, who they just released, which I'm glad they did.
They never should have signed him to that money to begin with.
Ryan Cook, who I would like to see them sign back just to have, you know, depth behind, you know, Frederick, mm-hmm. who had a monster rookie year. Mm-hmm. Monster. I think he was number three in the whole NFL, you know, for centers. So, which, you know, it's big, you know, to have a guy like that, you know, after everybody bashing that draft pick.
Yeah.
Which, so... also, Edgar Jones, John Kitna, Danny McRae, Ernie Sims, Anthony Spencer, Brian Waters, George Wynn, and Jarius Wynn. I see them signing back Brian Waters probably to another one-year deal because he'll probably retire after next year or so. Who he kind of made a big deal for our front line last year. So, you know, we'll probably see him back. All these other guys are small contract guys like Edgar Jones. Was signed just because we had so many injuries.
Same thing with Kitna. He's not.
Yeah.
I think he was signed to the last game of the season, and that was it.
He's gone. Jarius Wynn is another guy that, you know, was signed to a small, you know, small contract just because, they needed it. So, you know, that's most of the teams that, you know, that made kind of a splash and obviously our respected teams that we like. But, you know, any other big free agents that have landed, you know, Courtland Finnegan went to Miami, which is a good pickup. Golden Tate went to Detroit to go
That's a nice pickup,
That really is a good pickup to, you know, be that slot receiver, I guess, or number two receiver, you know, next to Calvin Johnson. So, like we said, Brandon, Julius Peppers, like you just said, going to Green Bay. After being released, he was meeting with the Cowboys too. I would have liked to see that, but
it was the same deal.
It just the guaranteed money was like 7.5, you know,
versus 20.
Yeah, exactly. So, and like I said before, Brandon Albert went to Miami.
Yeah,
which is a big loss for Kansas City because he was their best lineman. Probably was the best lineman.
A big move for Miami after agent. You know, obviously everything happened last year to get some stability. Obviously, in the front line.
Yeah, definitely. Dante Whitner went to Cleveland. So, like we were saying, with Cleveland making these moves, that was a big move.
And they already have a top 10 defense. You know,
well, yeah, they were in the top five, I think, or top. Yeah. You know, definitely top 10. Like we said, Eric Decker went to the Jets. That's pretty much the only move that the Jets made. The Giants maybe made two signings, nothing huge.
You gotta be kind of disappointed as a Jets fan in a way because you had all that cap money. I believe it was something around $40 million.
I think they were third or second.
Yeah, third, yeah. So a little disappointment there, only getting Eric Decker. But it was also, you know, not that many guys that... filled what they needed, and you know, in terms of offense.
I do have a feeling that the Jets will sign Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
I just see that happening.
Yeah,
because he's probably one of the best fits for it. So we'll see what happens with that. Lamar Woodley signed with the Oakland Raiders.
That was really about it for your NFL free agency. I mean. I wonder, you know, all the people out there, how they feel that their teams did.
Yeah.
You know, some fans have to be a little more disappointed than others. I think, like I said before, the Panthers they struck out completely because they also lost their safety, Mitchell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have a lot of problems. You know, it was their first really good year last year. You know, 12-4, won a division, this and that, and... now they don't even have a wide receiver on their roster, so it's not looking like it's going to be a good year for Carolina.
Yeah.
And this was also brought up. Sorry to interrupt you really quick, but, you know, do they not want Cam to have a wide receiver so he has a bad year so they can pay him less? You get what I'm saying? Because
I do.
His contract's going to be up soon, so do you pay him off a bad year, obviously, so you can save some money? Is that... a reasoning behind all of this?
Well, from what I've been hearing, I heard a few times, you know, through Twitter, that he might be on the trade block.
Yeah. Oh.
So, I don't know. I think they said they're willing to trade him for, you know, a top five pick.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the deal is with that. I mean, they have a top deep. They didn't lose anybody on defense. Yeah.
Just as the Mikal Mitchell or whatever, yeah. Something, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Ooh, I think he was
decent
a defensive tackle.
Safety.
Yeah.
Decent safety.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about the defensive side.
Yeah.
It's just their offensive side. And I mean, if they would have just kept Steve Smith and maybe
got rid of one of the running backs they're paying like $8 million to.
Yeah. You know, you get a wide receiver for Cam Newton. And,
yeah. If they're willing to trade him, if I was the Cleveland Browns, I would throw
I'd be
everything
all over that.
Everything.
All over that.
I would give him two first rounders, treat him to dinner for a month, anything you can.
The Browns have 10 draft picks in the first 60 picks.
Yeah.
So you can give them whatever you want.
Yeah, you can
and
do it. I mean, why not? I mean, why draft someone when there's a proven already? I mean,
and the Browns have a good wide receiver in Josh Gordon
and a tight end too.
So, yeah, so you know if the Browns go out and do something like that,
watch out.
The Browns look like a good team right now. I mean,
yeah, wow.
Their defense, a top defense, and then you add Cam Newton with Josh Gordon and maybe add another, you know, small wide receiver like, you know,
I can't think of their tight end either, but they got him, I believe, a few years ago in the draft, and he's a hell of a tight end. Yeah,
Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, he's a very good tight end.
He's a beast.
I mean, that's a scary, scary team that I do not want to see happen at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just hearing Cam Newton on the trade block, that's just the first team that came to my mind. I mean, why
absolutely
not throw everything you have at Carolina?
Even now I'm spitballing here, but even if you do with Houston.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You give up the first pick.
Or even in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Why deal with Bradford when you can have all those picks from the Redskins?
Exactly.
Just give them away for Cam Newton.
Exactly, and I mean, you add Cam Newton to any of that top four, top five teams, they're a playoff team.
Yeah, because the Texans obviously were a playoff team before.
Yeah, the Texans have
happened.
The Texans have a decent, you know, decent defense. Hopefully, they stay healthy,
mm-hmm.
especially you know, with their linebackers and everything. Because I mean, they're
Brian Cushion has the worst luck.
Exactly,
he's got the worst luck.
So if they keep everybody healthy on the defensive side, you're adding Cam Newton to a team with Andre Johnson,
Arian Foster.
I mean that it's just you can't wrap your head around that. That's a playoff team.
Easily.
You put him on St. Louis.
That's a playoff team. Well,
somewhat.
You can't say playoff.
Somewhat.
In any other division than the one they're in, playoff team.
You like the Browns. You're talking about a deep playoff team, a deep playoff team.
Even
especially with the guys
Minnesota,
that they just saying
Cam Newton and Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. So you know that's just us spitballing here.
Of
like just adding Cam Newton to any one of these teams.
From that, I mean, why would Cam want to stay in Carolina when they're not doing anything for him?
Yeah.
You know, so maybe the trade block thing is true because he sees what's going on around. Like, why would I want to stay in this?
Yeah.
I just lead us to a 12-4 year, probably our best year since the Super Bowl appearance against the Patriots.
Yeah.
And now I don't have a wide receiver on my roster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot to that, I think.
Yeah.
There's got some potential, we could say, to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But like we were saying earlier, yesterday was Selection Sunday, so officially it is March Madness. And
March is over in 2 weeks.
Wednesday, I think it's Tuesday, starts the play-in games. There's four play-in games. So we'll see I think the teams that are playing, we have Albany versus Mount St. Mary's, two 16 teams. You got NC State and Xavier, two 12s. You got Texas Southern and Cal Poly. the two 16 teams, and Iowa and Tennessee, two 11 teams. So these are all playing games that will happen Tuesday and Wednesday, two games each day, and then
the
madness starts on Thursday, and you know, the biggest, we already knew going into Selection Sunday that there was three number one seeds already locked up. Like, you know, we had Florida, Arizona, and Wichita State already locked up at number one seeds. There was that final number one seed that we were worried about.
There's like a lot of Michigan, Kansas was talked about. The winner of the ACC was talked about. So there were a lot of
yeah, you know, you had a few of them. You know, Duke was, you know, that could have been.
Yeah.
You know, Duke, Virginia, you had Michigan, or Michigan State was even in the MISC.
Louisville. Kansas,
yeah.
All these teams.
The team that actually got that number one seed was Virginia after the beating.
And they deserved it. I mean, they came out of absolutely nowhere this year.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, I actually watched a little bit of that game.
I did too.
Virginia, and they're very team oriented. Yeah. Pass the ball till a guy's open.
Yeah, they're a scary team going into this.
And they're very scrappy on defense. Bracket, I mean, they're right on who they're guarding. They're just a very scappy type of team, and
definitely
that takes you far in this tournament.
Yeah, but we'll go over the bracket now. We got the South bracket, which, if you're looking at a bracket, it's the top left. You got Florida at the number one seed, going up against Albany or Mount St. Mary's, whoever wins that on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You got Colorado and Pittsburgh, the 8-9 teams. VCU at number 5 going against SF Austin at 12. You got at the number 4 seed, you got UCLA, which they're a scary team coming into this.
Yeah.
Up against Tulsa, who is also a very good team. Then you got Ohio State, number 6, against Dayton, number 11. Ohio State will get you to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Then they will break your heart.
Yep.
That's the way Ohio State is. There's a few teams that will break your heart very, very quickly in the brackets that, you know, during the year, they're
like
a great team.
Duke's my favorite team, but
they'll
break your heart.
Yeah, they will break your heart. Syracuse will break your heart. At number 3, you got Syracuse against 14, Western Michigan. You got number 7, New Mexico against number 10, Stanford. And then you got number 2, Kansas against number 15, Eastern Kentucky. Kansas is a little iffy on my side right now because of Joel Embiid being hurt.
But there's one thing you can say about them. They have the one player in all of college basketball that can take over a game.
Absolutely. Andrew Wiggins.
And that's, you know, one of them, the most important things that we've seen recently in these tournaments with, if it was, you know, Steph Curry doing it when he was
For Davidson,
you know, draining threes from 35 feet, you know.
Kemba Walker with Connecticut.
So those kind of things can really just, and obviously Kansas is stacked, you know, they're one of the top teams in the country, regardless of Wiggins. So, you know, to have that ability to just completely take over a game with one guy, that's huge.
Yes. But also missing Joel Embiid is a tough loss now. So we'll see what happens with that. They said maybe a week or two that he'd be missing. And that was, last week?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Then we'll go to the West bracket, which is the top right. You got Arizona at the number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Had a really good year this year, 30-4 against Weber State. Then you got Gonzaga at number 8 against Oklahoma State at number 9, which I think will probably be one of the better games of the first round. Well, technically it's the second round, but then you got Oklahoma at 5, North Dakota State at 12, San Diego State at 4, New Mexico State at 13, Baylor at 6 against Nebraska at 11. Then you got Creighton at number 3 against Louisiana Lafayette at 14. Creighton with Dougie McDermott. He's a solid player.
Yeah,
all around, he's a solid player.
He's going to have to work on defense for his pros.
He does have to work on defense, but, especially you know, especially going into the post.
I mean, yeah, what defense gets played anymore anyway?
Yeah, you just end up getting called for a foul anyway. So.
Yeah, you really you can't do anything.
But he's a big dude. He yeah, you know, no, and he can shoot. So Creighton, you know, had a very good season this year. Tough loss against Providence for the Big East Championship, but they had an all-around good year at 26-7. Then you got the 7th seed Oregon against the 10th seed BYU, and you got Wisconsin at 2 against American at 15.
That's another team that breaks your heart, Wisconsin. Oh,
yeah. Wisconsin always does. Then we'll go to the East bracket, which is the bottom left. And like we said, Virginia at the number 1 seed, which was you know, that's great for Virginia.
Yeah. No,
and like we said,
Virginia's no one saw that coming this year.
Oh, no, not at all. And like we said, Virginia's going to be a tough team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're going up against the 16 team, Coastal Carolina. Then you got the 8 seed Memphis against the 9 team at George Washington. You got Cincinnati at 5 against 12 Harvard. 4 Michigan State against 13 Delaware. Michigan State
is
one of those teams that will always be there. Yep. Always. No matter how, you know, tough they're playing, like no matter what
team
that they're
to see
playing
them in the
really.
Final four.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I believe they started out the season ranked number 1, preseason number 1 or 2, so
they looked good yesterday against Michigan. Yeah. They really did. They got a big team. Yeah. They do have a big team.
And they got Izzo.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, I was talking to a few people yesterday, and I said, this guy's a great coach.
He's one of the – I even put him ahead of a lot of people that don't, like Boeheim. I put him ahead of Boeheim.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Boeheim's been there all 37, 38 years. He's won once.
Yeah.
And it was with Melo.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking anything away. I just think Izzo is a better coach
than
him.
Yeah, he's a great coach. Then you got North Carolina at 6 against 11 Providence. That's a team this year that will break your heart,
mm-hmm.
North Carolina. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Iowa State at 3 against North Carolina Central at 14.
Iowa State is a very good team.
They really are.
They're a very good team.
Yeah. Then you got Connecticut at 7 against St. Joseph's, and you got Villanova at 2 against 15 Milwaukee. Villanova is a very underrated team, I want to say. They don't really get talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a team that's going to be dangerous in this bracket.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, watch out for them.
And if they get anywhere near New York, I mean, they're very popular in Madison Square Garden, Villanova.
Oh, absolutely. Then we go to probably the toughest bracket of them all. The Midwest, which is the bottom right. You're looking at Wichita State at the number 1 seed at 34-0. And they're going up against the 216 teams that we'll be going up against probably Wednesday. So we'll see what happens with that. Then you got Kentucky and Kansas State, which is going to be a very good game, 8-9. St. Louis, another very good team,
mm-hmm.
At 5 going up against NC State or Xavier, one of those two. I believe it's going to be NC State, honestly. Then you got Louisville at 4. Against 13 Manhattan. Louisville is another team that's going to be, you know, that's going to be there. Yeah.
Yes.
Massachusetts at 6 against whoever wins the 11 seeds between Iowa and Tennessee. Then you got 3 Duke against 14 Mercer, 7 Texas against 10 Arizona State, and 2 Michigan against 15 Wofford.
The thing I always love, though, Duke's the 3 seed. You see where they're playing?
Yep.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yep.
Not even moving anywhere.
Yep.
It's just, it amazes me.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're looking at, because I believe that there is games in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Connecticut playing in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to look at. Villanova's playing in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Then once you get to, I believe it's the Sweet 16 that they'll be playing in MSG.
Yeah, I think that's
and the Elite Eight's going to be happening in MSG.
I think that's when it starts. I'm not sure when the break point is.
Yeah, well,
I think it's the Elite Eight.
Because if you're looking at the bracket right now, you have the first games in for the East side. It's Raleigh, North Carolina for the Virginia game. Cincinnati and Harvard and Michigan State and Delaware are playing in Spokane. Then you got North Carolina playing in Texas, and then Connecticut's playing in Buffalo. And then it's empty for the Sweet 16. So that's why I believe it's going to, you know, it's going to be in MSG.
Yeah.
So, and the Elite Eight should be in MSG as well. So, you know, this is going to be a good March Madness, I believe, because there's not one team that you can say is dominant.
Yeah.
And
that's what you're asking for in this situation. Yeah.
I mean, the only team that really a lot of people like is Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like everybody's going to take Florida.
And even at that, and Louisville is ahead of Florida in the... Who's projected to win.
Yeah.
Louisville turned out to be the favorite.
Florida, now we're going, you know, from their championship game, only won by one against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They blew a 16-point lead.
Yeah.
So, you know, Florida's not that...
Exactly.
You know, dominant team either. So you got to watch out for these things. And I think it's going to be fun this year because...
It's going to be great, yeah.
Because you really can't pick one team to be there. And I feel like a lot of upsets are going to happen this year.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of upsets. And the first round, the first and second round are... That's the best.
Yeah, oh, that's absolutely. Because that's where it happens. I mean, that's where the upsets happen.
Yeah. So... Hopefully everybody goes out and you know, does their bracket.
Definitely, do Quicken Loans. I believe they are. I'm trying to think. I forgot who they like teamed up with. I think it was Yahoo.
It might have been
Quicken Loans teamed up with.
Yeah,
definitely fill out a bracket for them. That's the Warren Buffett, the billionaire bracket, and also I heard on my way here, top 20 gets $100,000. So if your bracket is in the top 20, you automatically get 100 G's. So, you know, why not?
Yeah.
ESPN, I believe, is offering $10,000 only. You know, again, why not? Just start to just fill out brackets everywhere. But those are the big ones, you know, just so you guys know.
Yeah, it's with Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, so there you go. Quicken Loans has teamed up with Yahoo for the billionaire bracket. You know, fill that out, as I said, $100,000 to the top 20, I heard. So,
yeah, and you don't have to pay anything.
Yeah, I mean, so and it's also fun to follow along with your bracket.
Yeah.
You know, you start rooting for the teams you pick that, you know, you never rooted for. You never even may have heard of.
Exactly. So, I'm not doing my bracket probably till Wednesday night or, you know, maybe Tuesday. So we'll see. You know.
Well, the thing is, because you have to pick the preliminary
No,
teams,
you don't. Not, you know, with They're most not. Of the pools, you don't really have
okay.
to. You,
okay, yeah.
You know, as long as you have it in by Thursday, you should
All
be
right.
good.
So there you go.
So definitely check these things out. Like we said, the Quicken Loans one is going to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, why not? You know, if you get, if you end up, you know, picking them all right, you end up in the top 20, you get $100,000.
Yeah, just for having fun.
That could change your life.
Yeah.
So definitely check it out. That will do it for our podcast. This was another Tom and Jerry Sports Show podcast, our second annual one.
Yes.
And I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tom.
Be breezy. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Tom and Jerry Show.